Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We will, by God's grace, continue to move on in our study of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we are now coming to the last half of chapter 7. Now, I don't need to tell you that Ecclesiastes can be a very challenging book. There are, in fact, many puzzling statements, some of which become clear when they are examined carefully in their context, but others that remain puzzling even after we study them as thoroughly as we are able, and even that is by design. When we come to chapter 12 and verse 11, we read, "The words of the wise are like goads," G-O-A-D-S. The words of the wise are like goads. That is, you know what a goad, a prod is, a cattle prod. And Solomon is saying that there are some words that are given to us to prod us, to stimulate us, in other words, to make us think more carefully. And that's valuable. Even if we don't figure it out, the very exercise of wrestling with it, turning it over, studying it carefully, trying to understand it, is beneficial to our minds and to our souls. You recall that the book of Ecclesiastes was written to help us determine what elements of life yield the greatest satisfaction. Solomon apparently was curious about that himself, and he set out to investigate that matter, and having done so, he, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote this book to give us the benefit of his investigation. And the things that most people think are going to bring earthly satisfaction turn out not to be the things that do that. Things like human knowledge and wealth and sensual pleasure and even human labor, though submitted to a priority of serving God, these things can all add some value to our relationship with the Lord, add some value to our life as they are submitted to a right relationship with the Lord. But these are not the things that bring the greatest value in life. And as you know, Solomon offered a different list of things that do add value to life in the first half of chapter 7, the section that we just completed on the broadcast last Friday. And he said, "Sorrow and rebuke and patience and wisdom will add more value to your life than money and pleasure and even human knowledge." Now, as we come to the last half of chapter 7, verses 15 through 29, we find that Solomon is going to expand upon that fourth area, namely wisdom. Wisdom will add value to your life, and now he gives us some godly wisdom for earthly living. And this is what we're going to take up on this Monday, November 2, enabled to do so by those radio listeners who help us financially maintain this broadcast on this station. Thank you very much. Wisdom for earthly living, godly wisdom for earthly living. And there are four elements that he covers in this section. Number one, wisdom concerning religion. Two, wisdom concerning human relationships. Third, wisdom concerning human sexuality. And four, wisdom concerning human nature. Those are the four areas. It'll take a while to work our way through all of them, but that's where we're going. So Join us today and in the days to follow as we study this together. First of all, wisdom concerning religion, verses 15 through 18. Solomon writes, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is a good thing that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Didn't I tell you that there were puzzling statements in the book of Ecclesiastes, and this section certainly contains several of them, so let's see what we can do to understand them. Under this area of wisdom concerning religion, the first thing he takes up is wisdom in interpreting Scripture. Back to verse 15, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Solomon starts with a general opening statement, namely, to remind us of his wide exposure and experience to varied situations in life. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. And there's that word vanity that's sort of a key word in the book of Ecclesiastes. But here, in this case, it means something like, I have seen everything in my days or in the days of my fleeting life. And what he's saying is that, or at least he's implying, that he has seen some unusual situations that don't fit the usual pattern. I have seen some strange things in my days upon the earth, is how we would probably say what Solomon is saying here. And so when he makes this statement in the next part of verse 15, what he's talking about is not the norm, but rather an unusual reversal of the norm. The righteous man who dies young, and an unrighteous man who lives a long and wicked life. And that he considers to be not the norm, but it does happen at times. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is, occasionally, we could insert, a just man who perishes in his righteousness. His life is cut off short. And there is, occasionally again, a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. This is not the normal pattern. It's not the general rule. But there are times when, contrary to the general pattern, you find a righteous man who dies young when you would have expected him to have a long life. That's one of the promises to those who obey their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And a long life is promised in the land which the Lord thy God gives to you. So, normally, those who live righteous lives in obedience to God's commandments, in submission to God's requirements, extend their life because of that. God blesses their righteous living with a good long life, but it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes there is a righteous man who dies young and an unrighteous man who lives a long and wicked life. And again, the norm is that those who give themselves over to wickedness usually die young, or at least younger than average. And we observe that. What I'm telling you is not news to you, and I think you would say that in your observations, if you didn't know anything about the Bible, but in your observations, you would say that that is generally true. Those who live good, wholesome, clean, and godly lives generally live long lives, and people who give themselves over to all kinds of wickedness, to drinking and partying and reckless living and daredevil living and so forth generally live shorter lives. They ruin their health. They die in a tragic accident because they've been careless and so forth. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Now, what Solomon observes here has actually been stated previously in Scripture. I don't think I'll take time to look up the passages, but you'll find something similar in Psalm 73, and you'll find something similar in Jeremiah chapter 12. And maybe I will take time to read the Jeremiah passage. Jeremiah 12, 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Now, here's not dealing specifically with long life, but it's the same basic idea. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? He's not supposed to prosper. Those who do wickedly are supposed to suffer the consequences and not prosper. That's backwards. And why are those happy who deal so treacherously? They're supposed to be miserable. But by observation, sometimes we conclude just the opposite. In fact, sometimes we see people who live righteously and their lives seem to be just filled with difficulty and heartache and burdens of one kind and another. And then we see somebody who is living wickedly and his life is carefree. Now, Psalm 73, I didn't go to that one because that idea takes up a great portion of that psalm. And it was a real problem for Asaph, the author of that psalm, and it caused him great spiritual difficulty that he wrestled with without coming to a proper conclusion until, he tells us, he went into the sanctuary. He went to the temple, and there in his worship of God, in that place, he came to an understanding of what was taking place. And we'll not go to that right now. But the question is, why is this so difficult to accept, that there would be righteous people who would die young, and there would be wicked people who would live long? And the answer is because this violates our sense of justice, which is a God-given sense. And it also seems to contradict Scripture. I also already quoted the text in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 about the long life for those who are godly, at least in one particular area of life, though it's often true in other areas as well. But Exodus 20, where you find the Ten Commandments, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Scripture indicates that that's going to be the general pattern. I could also turn to Psalm 55, verse 23, but I won't take time for that now. So this is what Scripture indicates, that you can expect if you'll live a godly life, you'll live a longer life. And if you live an ungodly life, you'll live a shorter life. But sometimes, it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And that's what Solomon is making note of here. I've seen some strange things in my lifetime. I've seen a just man who perishes in his righteousness and a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Time's gone. Come back tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.